Good morning.
And good morning.
Good morning, Unplugged.
Unplugged, brought to you by Daddy Pete Plant, please. Jeff Rowland Trucking,
Jeff Rowland
Revival Creatives, Videography, Photography, and Local Zoo.
And Local Fishery.
And the Fishery Department.
And, yes. And Kingdom Prophetic Society.org.
And Kingdom Prophetic Society.org, where we set the standard
for
something.
For pretty good truth.
Pretty good truth. That's right. Pretty good truth. That's exactly
well, we
right.
do. We do pretty good. And for some reason, I don't know, we hit a odd hole in the road or what. All of a sudden, we're running the ditch. And then we'll get back on there.
Every time. Every time. We just run.
But we
right,
recover
right
well. We recover well. You see.
Yeah, it somewhat depends on who is who's watching us recover as to how well we recover. But I will say we recover.
What? What is that?
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and yeah, so those who behold our recovering is the judge of how well we recover. You know.
Okay. Okay.
I have been told at times that we didn't recover well on this. Yeah, I thought
that made total sense.
Looks like the comparison between yoga and yogurt and Google and goggle. Same thing.
Yeah, see, all this time, just so our listening audience will know, Jeff thought I was doing yoga. And I said, no, Jeff, it was yogurt. Yogurt. So he went into this long spiel on me and yoga. And it's not biblical and all this.
Stuff, I was trying to help.
I was trying to help
a fallen brother. And for those of you who don't know, Alan took a spill yesterday at the farm. He failed. And so I was trying to help a fallen brother. Yeah.
It was kind of comical because I got my foot hung up in a cord. I was stepping over an axle of this machine inside the bagging room. And so I had one foot stepping over, and it's just like somebody grabbed my leg as I was going over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It felt like you just grabbed my leg.
That's right.
Well, that ain't all of it. I had a box. I had just bought a box of 100 screws. All right. I had to go back there to fix something. And so I go over, and I got a screwdriver in one hand. I got an impact driver in another hand. I got a box of screws in one hand. Boy, how many hands is that? Three. And then I had this bag of hangers for it. So anyway, so I had all this in my hands. So I was stepping over this axle, and it felt like somebody, as I was going over, grabbed my leg. Come to find out it was a hydraulic line. So I go down, right? I fall down.
Yeah.
So but as I was going down, I had this thought.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that far, so it's not gonna be much to it. And so when I had contact, can you say that with me? Contact. When I made contact with the cement floor, I could have swore I was going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, right.
I hit that floor and laid there just a second and landed on my shoulder, my knees, and my head. And because I was falling amongst this metal framing that goes to this machine.
Yeah.
And so I kind of knocked some bark off my knees hurt my feelings a little bit. Of course, I don't know why it's this way. First thing you usually do, you know, is look around and see if anybody's watching.
Right.
I didn't look.
As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, you landed in the upward dog position, which is a yoga position. That's why I was trying to help a fallen brother. That's right.
You always could make Bible out of anything. You always did.
Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. See, that was me. Yeah, that was me.
That was you. Well,
far be it from me to laugh at someone else's suffering. I will not do that. I'm not going to do that.
And I did appreciate your consoling me.
Right. I knew you would.
In my dilemma.
I was right there for you. Exactly. Yeah,
you are. You really yep. were.
Yes.
It's
yes.
something about the word shake it off and get up. It's not
it's like the dust off I mean, your feet. That's exactly yeah, right.
We and, did, and a, it was we did literally.
A, we, that's right. Yeah. We did a whole lot of Bible stuff right there. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, my nerve. Jesus help us. Listen, I hope. Yeah. Oh, no mercy. If we're going. We're going to have to hurry up and call on Elon and get a chip in our brains. That's what we're going to need.
Well, I mean, you know, I was reading that today, and I don't know how many is up on that, but Elon it does more than just electric cars. You know, he does the SpaceX program where right, he's developed right, a right. rocket ship to space that he can land on the Earth. And that's a new technology. But this Neuralink system is a... where you implant a computer chip into the human brain and it connects to the neurons of the brain. And then you can connect to a computer system. He's claiming that by 2027, he'll be able to cure some diseases, some common diseases like tinnitus and insomnia, obesity, different things like that he's claiming he can do. He's tested this chip with animals and learned that a monkey can actually play a video game just using his brain. And this is a scary proposition, you know, and to think that, and I know that anybody that knows me knows that I just about have a Google potential just with my brain. I mean, someone, instead of asking Google, they can ask me and I can probably call it up pretty quickly. We all know that.
Well, you'll call up something, that's for sure.
But the possibility, the possibility of which is, you know, you test this, but this is the kind of technology, if someone's, say, in pain, in severe pain, and there is the possibility of being able to control that pain where you don't feel pain just simply by a, let's say, minimal invasive procedure where they actually put something in your brain. Would that be, would people do that? And the answer is, of course, yes, they would. And so you can see how that there is this this possibility of this kind of technology advancing. And I'm all for wanting to help people in their life and to try to do away with as much suffering as we can. That would be wonderful. But I do believe there's a connection to what this technology is and what we've talked about in the past with Daniel's vision of the iron mixing with the clay. And this kind of transhumanistic approach that Elon Musk is taking with this technology. And we could certainly see how the Antichrist and the world system could manipulate such technology to try to manipulate our thought processes and our thinking. Mm-hmm. And if there's anyone out there that would trust the government to say, well, the government would never let it go that far, then you are probably an idiot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. There is some concerns I have about that. And I think we all should be a little bit concerned about it. Those possibilities.
Well, I was concerned about me and you before this. I mean, you sure don't need something else to be concerned about.
That's exactly right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
no, that's for sure.
We don't need one more concern rolling around our heads.
No,
well, I tell you, it's everything is being done with a possible good motive. But here, if you'll notice, Jeff, the motive is always strikes a chord or plays a note in eternal life. In other words, everybody's trying to live longer, and I get all that. But I'm just saying, what happens on a psychological and a spiritual basis is if you can prolong life, that's the right answer, period, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you don't, and I'm all for, I mean, don't get me, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm just saying, when you say that you're going to prolong life, that automatically makes it legitimate.
Yeah, in the eyes of the world, it does.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I'm okay with that because I'm all about life also.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I'm also for not killing little babies, you see. So,
yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I'm for life. I'm for life. But on one hand, it's a psychological trick, but people say, okay, this is good, but put a chip in your brain because so we can have longer life and more life. But then on the other hand, you're less suffering. But then on the other hand, you'll kill a huge population. So, yeah. I mean, you're talking about genocide. I mean, come on, somebody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
so,
exactly.
So it's obvious that some people pick and choose, you know, what they want to qualify as a good thing or a bad thing. And it's, you know what I'm saying? It's very obvious that this is, so it's more life or whatever. And I'm not against research. I'm not against, you know, I think it's a good way to go to try to prevent human suffering and yada yada, you know, the whole thing.
Right. I do think that with the advancements in technology, and with Daniel saying that in these last days knowledge will increase.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah,
I think that there needs to at least be a discussion on what does this mean concerning end time theology. What does it mean concerning life going forward? Mm-hmm. Because what looks like in the eyes of the world as advancements in life may not necessarily be advancements in life. Real life is found in Christ. And I just don't know how close would it be to being able to manipulate the consciousness of man from a computer system somewhere that would eventually come under the control of the political world. And actually the one world government, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it makes you know, I mean, that's not even a skip and a jump.
Yeah. Right.
To the mark of the beast.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's not even a, you can say, well, don't take the mark of the beast. You know, we don't know what that actually is, but we know it is something. So the mark of the beast, you say, well, that's like a credit card or something. Well, or your Social Security. I mean, we've heard all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have that to be the mark as it would be put a computer chip in me and would alter my behavior.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah.
It's one thing to have a mark and it not control your thinking, and it is having the mark. Well, what if it controls your thinking or influences your thinking? And,
exactly.
That all of a sudden you're losing personal. To me, to take the mark of the beast means you're losing personal identity. So, if you the mark of the beast has many different shapes, fashions, and forms.
Yes.
And so we know that. Sin. Let's just do sin, okay? A mark of the beast that I'm good at. Let's take sin. Is that not a mark? Is that not in my mind? Mm-hmm. Is that not a dysfunctioning part of my understanding? So that definitely would be, you can say, well, it's not the mark, but I can say it is a mark.
Yeah.
Leading to the mark. And so I don't know that somewhere or another, somewhere, Jeff, when you can take a truth, and when you turn it into an extreme truth, a human truth, let's say you take an aspirin, you take two aspirin, your headache will be gone 30 minutes. Oh, okay, I want it gone 3 minutes. I'm going to take 300 aspirin.
Yeah.
So when you take a truth to an extreme, it has the opposite effect.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, instead of life and me feeling better, it's going to be bring death. So,
yeah.
So a lot of people think there's not but one thing that you can take to the extreme on the planet, and it, and you'd be healthier and you'd be better off, and that's the Word of God. That's, yes. that's the only thing that you can take to, and to extreme doesn't mean that you're radical in the sense of human radical. The extreme of the Bible means you're in an extreme, an extreme of the Bible, like it says in Revelation, we all know three about the Laodicean church, lukewarm, hot, cold. When you take it to the extreme, which is hot, that means that we're more like we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
And Christ, you know, now Christ got to where he'd had it, right?
Sure.
I mean, he had a few days. He turned some tables over and
yeah.
And done what I call she stomped the coffee table. You know,
he had a
few of those days. So that's not that you turn into a monk that sits around hums all the time. I mean, Jesus was truly an example to us of taking the human spirit and the spirit of man and the spirit of God to an extreme measure.
Yeah, and he was a model. He was a model of personality.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he was a model of personality. I think one of the concerning factors to me is the tie that was made in the article I read about the Neuralink system and disease, because, right. you know, several reasons that several things just come to my mind. How quickly would some depart from the faith in order to rid themselves of some horrible disease? And think by doing that, hey, God's okay with that. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying
it's a very slippery slope, which is the way that it seems like in my lifetime, everything has run. It's run through a series of progressive yieldings to certain things because of this or because of that, it makes it okay when the end result is that it's not okay.
Well, that's
the end result. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yep. I think the end result, listen, the disease or even the cure for a disease or something that eases a disease, to me, is not so much the issue as the side effects. The side effects is what kills you.
Yeah.
You see, so you could have a computer chip and it would ease a disease or fix a disease, but the problem is it's got side effects.
Yes.
And everybody said, well, it ain't got no way. Yeah, everything else on the planet does. When you start, you know, everything's got a side effect to it. Everything's got them. Your job, your relationship, your marriage has got side effects. You see?
Yeah, right.
Everything in life's got a side effect, which was side effect is something that is it could be even the opposite of the intent.
Right.
But it has something to do with something that's happening is not what you've intended. And yeah, so there's right. always, anytime man puts something into a system of anything we create, Jeff, from man, and we have side effects. That's because we're not perfect like God. You see, we're not, right. we think we've thought it through, but it's obvious, you know, with some vaccines and things we've taken in the last few years. It's some things haven't been thought all the way through. And so it tends to be anything man creates has side effects with it. And it's because it's the showing up of our imperfections.
Yep.
And you know what I'm saying? So it makes me wonder where we appropriate our faith, our passion, if you will. You know, it is a slippery slope. I totally agree with you that how in the world can man, if you're going for an improvement, I get the improvement. And I, you know, listen, let's take racism, for instance. You and I both are not racist that we know of. Of course, I'm sure some people might say if we're racist with anything, it's against our own white. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, as far as I know, I don't think that we're racist at all. And in my heart, I search it and I don't sense it.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean that I don't have a lot of imperfections in other areas. But I'm just using that one as an example. Okay. You can try to fix racism through the mind of man, and the side effects are worse than the cure.
With no doubt. And
because the Bible addresses exactly it. The Bible, we love each other. They're our brothers and our sisters. And you know, you want to say it in the Bible, if you want to go by the love of God, the true love of God, there, you know, there is none of that. But so when man tries to fix it outside, you try to fix it outside the Bible, then it's got bad side effects. And then you'll see the side effects are worse than what you're trying to cure, is my point.
Well, we
know that's true about a lot of medicines too, you know.
It absolutely is. The brain and our thought process that is corrupted and evil is merely a side effect from a heart problem.
That's right.
It's not a brain problem. It's a heart problem.
Yeah, it's a heart problem.
That creates the brain problem. You know, with as much information as there is in the Word of God about our thought life and how Paul teaches us how to think, what to think, how Paul teaches us that victory over Satan is through the mind of Christ, receiving the mind of Christ, having our mind renewed. With as much information as there is about that, I'm not at all surprised that there would be an alternative to the mind of Christ, which may be Google, implanted in your brain. You know what I mean?
Having
a computer, a connectivity from your brain to a massive computer somewhere. That seems to me to be the alternative. And I wouldn't be surprised. It's not a big leap, Alan, from them saying, okay, you know, hey, we can cure insomnia with this computer chip. Well, what would be another evolution in that? Well, we can cure racism. We can stop racist thoughts in your brain with this computer chip. I'm just saying those type of technologies are being tested
right now. Right. Yeah. Wow.
And where does that put us, you know, in the timeline? To me, that's a whole lot more dangerous than a nuclear war. For example.
I totally agree. All right, let me switch subjects on here.
Yeah, go ahead.
This movie they've come out with, these 2,000 mules. And it's caused a lot of stir. Jeff, it hasn't been out for a few days, but it is really causing some stir in some state offices. Now listen to this one. The Michigan Secretary of State office has reviewed portions of the movie 2,000 Mules pertaining to Michigan and sees nothing illegal, a spokesperson for the office told the Epoch Times. The film clips involving Michigan that have been shared with the department are explained by standard election practices well within state and federal law. A.K. Crisp, press secretary for Michigan's Secretary of State, Ms. Benson, a Democrat, said in an email to the Epoch Times, I find the response quite shocking, as paid ballot trafficking is illegal in all 50 states. The film's creator, Dinesh D'Souza, said of Benson's assessment of the evidence presented in his document. How can they refuse to even investigate? Well, I guess the answer has to be that this is cheating that helps their own party. Chris went on to say that Michigan's 2020 elections was found to be secure and accurate by hundreds of audits, numerous courts, and the Republican-led State Senate Oversight Committee. Says the 88-minute film highlight a 15-month investigation by public interest group, True the Vote, as the name of the group, into ballot trafficking. The investigation used cell phone signal trafficking, geofencing techniques, and video evidence to discover and document the ballot trafficking. The study found that Wayne County, Michigan, at least 500 intermediaries called mules, engaged in ballot trafficking by collecting thousands of absentee ballots from voters and depositing them in ballot drop boxes for money. Ballot trafficking is a process by which the safeguards of a chain of custody of a voter's ballot and official supervision of the handling of that ballot are evaded. So it says here that True the Voice cyber expert Greg Phillips has estimated that at least 4.8 million votes were trafficked nationally in 2020.
Now, if I heard you correctly, the Michigan representative there said that was legal. Is that right?
They're saying that what they saw in this movie, they didn't see anything illegal.
All right. See, I don't know what's more troubling, that the movie, if you go based off of just the source of the film, you would arrive at the conclusion that, okay, the election was not fair. I don't know if that's, I mean, that's troubling, but it's just as troubling for me for someone to claim, yes, but what happened was legal. You know what I'm saying? Have we come to a place to where they have legalized the purchasing of an election?
Wow.
If we've come to that place, then, the federal government is not the only ones that need to be kind of dealt with, but all state governments needs to be dealt with as well. Alan, I think, I'm real close. I'm not sure which founding father said it. My mind's not working exactly right here. But one founding father said that in order to keep a republic, they'd probably have to be a revolution about every 200 years. I can't remember who said that. One of the founding fathers said that. And I think that we're there, especially if they have made legal tampering with elections, to where they're unfair. I can't imagine that. I'm not surprised.
Well, it looks like to me that you could have absentee ballots and you could have a system set up that would be probably 98% foolproof or 99. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, we're if you can put a computer chip in somebody's brain, sure to goodness we can handle a ballot. And my point. Here's my point. When you can make something that's this simple, this corrupt, when you can make something this simple, this complicated,
Something about it's corrupt. That's exactly right.
When you take simple.
Yes.
So simple. One ballot, one person, one social security number, and I'm all for. I don't have any problem with a picture of people, but it's on my driver's license. But anyway, I don't have any problem with the one ballot per person. And you can't tell me you can't have mail-in ballots. And we can't develop some type of a security on that ballot. That's not at least 98% accurate. No.
That could detect any kind of fraud as well. System like that.
Listen, if our government cannot figure it out, pick up a phone, call Elon Musk. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, that's just right. Call me. I can Google good.
There you went into the Google. It's Goggle.
Goggle. It's like the yoga yogurt thing.
When you do, it's not Google, it's Goggle. Yeah. But
Alan, I would be interested. We'd probably never get an accurate reading on it. But I would love to know how many American people right now that live in America really believe that the election system is run in a fair, uncorrupt manner. I would love to know the answer to that question. I would love to know how many people in America really believe that the election system is fair and uncorrupted.
Yeah.
I would love to know that. And I would also love to know how many people that don't vote are not voting because they believe that their vote's not going to count anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would love to know the answer to that. I just think that if there was revelation of that truth of how many people there are that that believes that the election system is if the American people had confidence in the election system, I think more people would vote.
I think you'd get more of an accurate voice
from the American people. And it almost makes me curious how many Christian people don't vote because they firmly believe that the election system is so corrupt that their vote's not going to count anyway.
I don't know the answer to that,
but I would love to know.
I would love to know.
Maybe we need to put a poll on kingdomprophetic society.org. Everyone rush there now and answer that question. I would love to know that.
Well, let me just, and I'll not even follow it up myself, but here's the title of this article, okay?
Yeah.
Democrat Michigan elections chief says 2,000 mules ballot trafficking allegations explained by standard election practices. That's just scary to me. I mean, even the way it's titled is just so scary to me. Wow. Okay, let me just move on. Russia withdrawing troops from Ukraine after heavy losses, intelligence agency says.
Wow. That's interesting.
This is interesting. Russia withdrawing troops from Ukraine after heavy losses, intelligence agency says. Russia is now withdrawing some of its troops after suffering heavy losses in recent days, claimed the United Kingdom's Ministry of Defense on Thursday. This is coming from the United Kingdom. In an update posted on social media, the ministry alleged that Ukrainian forces are continuing to counterattack to the north, recapturing several towns and villages towards the Russian border. Despite Russia's success in circling the name of this place, I can't pronounce it, Kharkiv. In the initial stages of the conflict, it has reportedly withdrawn units from the region to reorganize and replenish its forces following heavy losses. The agency said, referring to the second largest city located in northeastern Ukraine near the Russian border. But the withdrawal of Russian forces is a tactic recognition of Russia's inability to capture key Ukrainian cities where they expected limited resistance from the population, the ministry said. Those withdrawn forces, it added, will likely be sent to other places to this river to form a blockade to protect the western flank of Russia's main force concentration supply routes. So, okay.
Wow.
So anyway, that's maybe a little... You know as well as I do with Putin, it's like he just scatters. He like he goes into some place and he runs out.
They're saying it, and it does appear. I mean, at least it looks like that he's bogged down in a quagmire of not being able to obtain his military objectives. It does appear that way, and that may be the reality. That may be the reality. I'm not saying it's not, but what I will say is that it stretches the borders of my mind to at least have some intelligence in our country of the military strength of the Russian army, and then to see their poor performance in the way they have conducted this. This operation that stretches the borders of my mind. It may be very possible that his military strategists are not reporting back to him accurately what's going on. In fear of their own life or in fear of whatever. I don't know that may be true.
I don't know. All right, let me jump again.
Yeah.
Meet the doctors who were punished or threatened for questioning the COVID vaccines. Vaccine hesitancy are terms that have caused a lot of trouble for some physicians who have questioned the mainstream media big pharma, big tech, political narratives that the COVID vaccines are safe and effective. Dr. Wade Hamilton, a pediatrician cardiologist, told the Epoch Times he was just following his Hippocratic oath. You know, that's the oath they all take. When he didn't suggest the COVID vaccine to a girl who already had had COVID-19 and possessing natural immunity. With a dispassionate voice, he said that around January 1st, he had to stop working in part related to an attack on his license. And nobody likes to have people in their office getting attacked by the Board of Medicine, Hamilton said. In general, in medicine, that's never been done. Previously in history, that you give somebody a vaccine or a shot that they already have natural immunity to, there's no benefit and there's no significant potential risk. In September last year, the American Board of Internal Medicine issued a statement that threatened physicians who provided misinformation, they called it, about the COVID-19 vaccines without defining what misinformation entails. The Federation of the State Medical Boards, which supports its members, state licensing boards, has recently issued a statement saying that providing misinformation about the COVID-19 vaccine contradicts physicians' ethical and professional responsibility and therefore may subject a physician to disciplinary actions, including suspension or revocation of their medical license. We at the American Board of Family Medicine, the American Board of Internal Medicine, and the American Board of Pediatrics support this FSMB's position. We also want all physicians certified by our boards to know that such unethical, unprofessional conduct may prompt their respective board to take action that can put their certificate at risk. Hamilton continues, in other words, you're not allowed to have an opinion separate from that of the Board of Medicine. I consider the risk-benefit ratio. And at the time, the risk of dying of COVID for any child, statistically, essentially zero. There were almost no deaths from COVID in children, and yet there is no information about the safety of the vaccine. So to give an mRNA vaccine, which is untested technology, and in terms of preventing disease with no real justification for a person, I thought that the risk-benefit ratio favored not doing the shot. He goes on to say, I have throughout my career gotten many permissions for invasive procedures that I was going to perform. And I am not willing to forego, or I don't think anyone should forego, informed consent and do no harm. So those two things are basic to my any concept of medicine. And so I wasn't willing to do what the board said. So then he goes on to say one more thing, skipping informed consent in the case of the experimental COVID shots cannot be justified and demonstrate a lack of respect for the patient and for the long established principles of medicine, Hamilton said. Hamilton gave a medical exemption for the vaccine in one case and says that some filed a complaint against him for deintegrating the vaccine. As a result, he is now faced with paying $5,700 for a neuropsychic test. Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Now
they're going to say he's crazy, I guess. Or
something. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, a little thought. There you go. What do you think about it? I knew there was a reason.
Went out on, there you go.
I knew there was a reason that I wasn't going to be a doctor. You know, wanted me to be a brain surgeon.
Right.
And there was a reason I decided not to. Right, there it is.
It was because I prayed, Lord, please save the planet. Yeah. Don't let that happen. And God answered my prayer. We've talked before about science, and there is this viewpoint that, you know, I have heard follow the science till I am absolutely sick to death of hearing follow the science. Science is not absolute truth. When something becomes absolute truth, it's no longer science. Science is the study that's supposed to lead us to truth. Is that accurate?
That is very accurate. Let me add something. Science is also, you're supposed to throw rocks at it. In other words, the way science is developed,
yes,
the way you come to truth is you're always challenging it. You see, when you start using science as the ultimate conclusion, you are kind of breaking the reason science can even work. I don't care what theory you've got. I don't care whatever. For somebody to question it, there's not a thing in the world wrong with questioning it, you see. But now you're going to be
penalized for using your brain. Yeah. Well, and here's one of the things I would question, and I do have serious questions about this. If the scientific community tells me, hey, we have tested this vaccine and we have analyzed this vaccine, and there is absolutely nothing in this vaccine that should cause any major side effects. Right. Then they give the vaccine, and upon those that take the vaccine, an overwhelming majority of the people have side effects to the vaccine. Mm-hmm. At that point, what do I look at? Do I look at the scientific community and say, well, yeah, but now the scientific community has analyzed this and they say that there's no side effects? Or do I believe the person who actually took the vaccine and has experienced side effects from the vaccine?
Well, it's just like, I'm with you. And it's also, you know, if you took the vaccine, Jeff, which you did not, but if you did, you see, what would complicate the science of it is all these side effects you already have, you see.
And right, yeah. Well, and I understand that.
You can't blame everything on the vaccine. A lot of it you already had.
Well, let me just say, the goggle technology in my brain that I call up. teaches me that I have seen people that has taken the vaccine and then developed things that they would go to the doctor for that the doctor would then eventually say it has to be coming from the vaccine. Happened to a ton of people that I know of.
I'm not
anti-vax either. I'm not. If someone decides to take the vaccine, that's up to them.
I took the vaccine, right?
Exactly. That's exactly. And look at how you have turned out. And this is scientific proof.
I looked in the mirror this morning, and I looked in there. I thought, wow, vaccine.
One of the side effects from the vaccine is an immediate propensity to be able to do yoga. You proved that yesterday. if you take the vaccine, the upward dog position is in your future. That is a scientific fact. I can arrive at that.
Well, I will have to say, like yesterday when I fell, I had this euphoric thing right before it. I was going to fly. And so it will mislead you. It can be a little misleading at times of what it'll bring. But you see, I had COVID in January of last year. I had COVID, and then I had what else did I have? Then I had my heart went into AFib. My heart went into AFib. Now you know, there wasn't a doctor in there. I said, well, could the COVID to put my heart into AFib? And the doctor said no, but then they kind of looked at me and winked, you know what I'm saying? And so we all knew that my AFib probably came as a side effect of COVID.
Right.
And the doctor did say, well, you wouldn't believe how many of these we're seeing now, you know, this 3 or 4 months after COVID and that. Because see, at 6 months after COVID, you don't really, or 5 months, you don't really feel like you've gotten over it yet. You know, I didn't.
Me neither.
You know what I'm saying?
I had COVID, it did the same way. I mean,
yeah, it took you. I mean, this is a year and 4 or 5 months removed from my first time. So anyway, then I had to have a heart ablation. So I did that. And then they found out my potassium was way out. And then they kept checking this and that. And then I had found out I had a tumor on my adrenal gland.
Yep.
And so the hospital where they were going to do the surgery on the tumor, they were all very, I mean, of course, now they were very antsy. They wanted me to get vaccinated before the surgery. Now, I'm not going to say that they demanded it.
Right.
But they said but it in such a way.
The pressure was there. The pressure was goodness. There to
oh,
do
oh, it. Oh, yeah. Exactly. It was, and I could kind of get it. He got a little bit personal in it. He said, listen, Alan, we're hauling bodies out of here 8 or 10 or 12 a day. Yep. And of course, it's a huge hospital. I'm not calling the name, but big, huge hospital. And they were, and that kind of hit it right at the height of some of this stuff. And they were just as antsy yep. as, and I could, yep. and I get that. I don't, even though I wasn't of the same persuasion, I wasn't in their same environment every day either.
Right, right.
So, and I felt like I was going to follow the Holy Spirit, whether I needed to get to the vaccine or not. So to me, he just said, listen, everybody in the operating room would appreciate it if you had the vaccine. That's all. He said, yeah. I'm not saying they won't do it, but we're all uncomfortable. That's all. Yeah. And that's what he said. And so I felt like out of honoring his request, and some people say, well, Al, I wouldn't do it for that. Well, that's not the way the Holy Spirit was impressing me. I felt like I was to honor his request. If I was going to ask them to work on me, if I wasn't going to honor the request, I think I needed to stay home. Not get a surgery. That's the way I felt.
Right.
And so they were honoring me and saying they would do it. But at the same time, I just felt like it. I needed to honor them and get it. So anyway, I got the vaccine, and I got two shots. And you know, you had to get two, one and two. Mm-hmm. So I got that, and after that, when I came out of surgery. Then I had, I don't know, it's probably a week or so. I got COVID again. In other words, I'd been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Evidently, I picked up COVID at the hospital.
Right, right.
And, you know, now here I was so concerned about getting, you know, they were concerned about getting COVID for me, and I said, I come away the winner.
That's right.
I got it from them. Yeah. So right. I could have picked at him. I thought about picking at the doctor, but they weren't no mood to pick. Yeah. But I was going to say, evidently somebody in that operating room hadn't had their shots, you know.
I didn't say that, but I did think it,
so I guess it was still sin. And so I got COVID. And anyway, I'll go, that's enough all that. But and then I went on later and got it a cotton picking third time.
Exactly.
Later in the year.
Exactly.
So I've had COVID either two or three times.
Yeah.
And I've been double shotted. And I'm an expert on COVID now. Of course, the doctor told me.
You know, and here's just a point to make is there was such a push for everybody to be vaccinated. And the illusion, at least the illusion. I'm not saying that they said it in this way. But the illusion was, get vaccinated and you won't get COVID. That was what was in people's minds.
I asked the doctor. I mean, I give shots to cows. We give vaccines. I have my whole life. I give a five-way vaccine to cows. If that's for five different viruses, one shot.
Yeah.
But anyway, with a vaccine, as the virus mutates, you've got to change the vaccine.
Yeah.
So now... Yeah. And I asked the doctor, I said, listen, this thing's already mutated 2, 3, 4 times. How's that original vaccine going to keep me from getting the new mutation?
Yes, right.
And he said, well, they cover more. They cover broad. I said, listen, doc, I give shots to cows. I do this.
Yeah, right.
And every time this thing mutates, if it doesn't mutate, you're good.
Yeah.
But I said, we already know this booger's mutating. So anyway, so what I think, you know, this is Dr. Daddy Pete here. Of course, they can't take away my license. So I'm Dr. Daddy Pete here, and it appears to me in my life that my understanding, which might be right or wrong, but that when if you had a fresh vaccine for the coronavirus now for the new mutations, I could see that it would possibly help.
Yeah.
But to take a vaccine for an outdated virus, seems a little. The science there doesn't seem to click. I did go to school in Alexander County, and I did barely finish the 12th grade. I think they got tired of looking at me, but I did barely finish 12th grade. But anyway, in my life experiences with viruses and cattle, just like I say, our whole livelihood is about the viruses and the vaccine when you got a bunch of cows. But so anyway, I'm well qualified. And he told me, he said, Alan, if you've had COVID and you get the vaccine, you're going to have, you're going to be you're going to have super immunity. You're going to be a Superman. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And the only thing I, if I have a conversation again with him, I'm going to say, if this is Superman, I'm going for Spider-Man, because if Superman's thing is not working out.
Not working out. Well, yeah. The thing that I do know, or this is my, and this is just my fault, there was a religious fervor surrounding the push for vaccinations.
At
the time that they were pushing it so strongly, we was already into the mutation part of COVID. And I cannot help but believe that there was an ulterior motive behind that push. Now, well, the push seems to have subsided. This push seems to have subsided, but it's only subsided because of pressing needs that apparently our government thinks is worse than COVID, which is we may not be able to buy food. Gas prices is so high, no one can afford it. Inflation rate is continuing to go up and skyrocket. We're looming over recession. We have the prospect of World War III. I mean, there's some things that has taken center stage away from the COVID virus. And it devalidates in my mind this incredible push that they had, that the world is going to completely obliterate and die without this vaccine. You know, I just can't, I can't.
Well, I'm all, I can't just like you say, down. I'm all for vaccines.
Me too.
If they're up to date and they work, and you know, you got to, I'm not for just throwing everything out there without it being tested. That I'm not. I think you need to have, because I think it appears, there again, it appears, I don't know, I can't document it, but it appears that there's been a lot more side effects than what we would like. Now, let me move on to another topic.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to hit a couple more before we go off here.
Yeah.
Two Twitter executives leave company ahead of Elon Musk takeover. Any response?
Well, the only response that I have is I so appreciate Elon Musk stand for free speech. But did you know if this does come to fruition, which, by the way, they announced this morning that his buy is in kind of limbo right now. They put it on hold, right. I think. Mm-hmm. But if he does pull off the purchase of Twitter, every one of those people on that board, as well as those that work for Twitter, are probably going to be fired. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose their job. Mm-hmm. And I think they need to lose their job, because Twitter is not functioning in the capacity that it was designed to function, first of all. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it's not profitable. It's not a profitable company.
Listen, I told you before, I kind of hope that Elon doesn't get Twitter. I'll tell you why. Elon does good in creating things and starting from the ground up. I'm sure he's maybe done acquisitions, but for him to, I have a concern for Elon, like he wants to know my opinion, but I have a concern that if he does the Twitter deal, that if he's not getting outside of his expertise just a little bit, and it could be it could actually be an anchor around his neck instead. Listen, I think Twitter's going out of business anyway. If Elon doesn't,
I do too, because it's not profitable. It is not profitable.
It's going out of business unless Elon does buy it. And but I'll tell you right now, it won't hurt my feelings at all if he doesn't. And I would like to get behind Trump's social media thing, Truth Social anyway. You know what I'm saying? Yep. I'd like for that one.
Exactly.
And you know as well as I do, it'll take at least 5 years just to get the thing off the ground.
Exactly.
But I would like to see people get behind True Social. If you do, but there's nothing wrong with having half a dozen of these, Twitter and
no, there's
and
not.
Everything
I,
else.
I totally agree. I do agree with you on this. there is a, it's a different business model to start a business from ground up and build it, as it is buy one that's already up and running, that's not running profitably, and then you got to rip it apart and then rebuild that.
Yeah, I mean, what are these executives thinking? Why would Elon want to keep them?
Yeah, why would he want to keep
them? You're losing money.
Exactly.
Somebody.
And again, this shows the political nature of what Twitter has become, because if this was just a normal company, that them guys would have already been fired.
Yeah.
They would have already lost their job.
Well, the reason what happens in corporate structure is everybody keeps protecting each other. You're not making money, but we're protecting each other's job, you see.
Right, yeah.
And so it ends up, I'll protect you, you protect me, we'll protect each other, we'll keep our job. But the problem is nobody's making any money. So therefore, they keep the jobs and the company goes downhill and then it's finally destroyed. So anyway, I've been praying that Elon, if he doesn't need that thing, and you say, I don't know why you're praying for Elon. It doesn't look like he needs any prayer. He's pretty successful like it is. Listen, Elon, just on his free speech agenda.
Yeah.
Elon, on the very fact, he goes down to NASA, shoots up a rocket. They develop a rocket, goes up there, and comes down and lands at the same spot.
Exactly.
I mean, come on, son. Listen.
Yeah.
When I get up in the morning, I can't even land at the same spot that I left yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
We know that as a scientific proof, by the way.
That is
and
true,
yoga does not help you with
it
landing.
It does not help, but none of this happened until I took the shot. But so anyway, I just pray
first
that
first trade for Greg when we need you.
Oh yeah, I'm going to tell you.
I just want to say I want to announce this for the world because I know Smith and Roland Unplugged goes all over the world.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to announce, because we have such a widespread audience, Trevor Craig's my friend. That's exactly right. That's exactly
Listen,
right.
Speaking of TC.
Oh, my word. Hey, I will say, we do need to pray for Elon. Yeah.
I think we need to, too. Yeah. TC's going to be with us Sunday.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah. I did not invite him, okay, just for the record.
Right. Yeah.
He came up to me and said, Alan, I'm available Sunday, and I'll be there. Y'all still at 3?
Good.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be fine. So.
Good deal.
He's coming, and he'll be there Sunday. He said, let's talk about the Nephilim. I said, talk about the Nephilim?
Yeah.
I got a bunch of stuff on Nephilim. He's talking about Nephilim.
good.
Yeah, I guess we'll be talking politics again.
We'll be talking Nephilim politics. And we do have scientific evidence of Nephilim politics. Joe Biden is now the president of the United States.
Oh, no.
I just saw him throwing it. Oh, you know, for transparency's sake.
No.
Trying to be transparent.
That was really bad, Jeff. Now, you need to say I'm sorry.
I am sorry that he's president of the United States. I am incredibly sorry that he's president of the United States.
No. That's not that's not what this is supposed to be. Oh, we're going south. You better say bye fast.
See y'all. I love you. God bless you.
Okay,
pray for you.
You too. All right, bye-bye.
All right, well.